said that after they heard the explanation of Lord Chaitanya, all the Mayavadis became very humble, and they said, "Dear sir, you are Vedic knowledge personified and directly Narayan himself. Kindly excuse us for the offenses we previously committed by criticizing you." From that moment, when the Mayavadi sannyasis heard the explanation of Vedanta Sutra from the Lord, their minds changed, and on the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they too chanted, "Krishna, Krishna, always." Thus Lord Chaitanya excused all the offenses of the Mayavadi sannyasis and very mercifully blessed them with Krishna Nam. After this, all the sannyasis took the Lord in their midst, and thus they all took their meal together. After taking lunch among the Mayavadi sannyasis, of course they were all converted now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was known as Gaurasundar, returned to his residence. Thus the Lord performed his wonderful pastime. That's the famous conversion in the history of Varanasi, 500 years ago. You can read in any book, any outside of our own books, you can read about Varanasi or the Maya, I don't know if the Mayavadis included it in their history. But any neutral person who's not a Vaishnava or say he's not a Vaishnava and he's not a Mayavadi, he's a professor, a philosopher, an Indologist, he'll recount the famous conversion of the 60,000 disciples of Prakashananda, conversion to the Vaishnava school by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They may not even, these professors that write about this history, they may not even mention, they won't say even that Lord Chaitanya is God. They'll just say the great Bengal saint, Sri Chaitanya, went there and converted them, but they'll definitely admit it as a historical fact. So that they're not small-time personalities, Mayavadi sannyasis. And they heard that the philosophy and they became converted by Lord Chaitanya. Something a little more. Chapter 17 of. I don't know what they think about them when they hear that some of their ancestors are all got converted. Well, I can't say what they say. Generally, year by year, it's like just, I go on Parikrama, it's 300 people, and I don't know any of them. I mean, none of them are God brothers, and it's like 300 people, 400 people, 500 people. I look around, how you going? I feel like an oddity or something, you know? I guess it must be like when you're the last remaining sannyasi disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati or something. It's like, I think there's three sannyasi disciples left of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Puri Maharaj, the old Puri Maharaj, and there's a few. Chapter 4. Sri Chaitanya Prasadena Tadrupasya Vinirnayam Balopi Kurute Shastram Drishtva Braja Vilashina. Please repeat. Sri Chaitanya Prasadena. We have a new student here who doesn't know the situation. Mm-hmm. Try this again. Sri Chaitanya Prasadena. I want to hear all the birdies, you know, singing. See, they're all chanting the verse. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, tat, of him, rupasya, of the form, vinirnayam, complete determination, mbalaha, a child, api, even, kurute, makes, shastram, revealed scriptures. Drishtva, having seen. Brajavilasina. You said it? Brajavilasina? Okay. Who enjoys the pastimes of Braja? Translation. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even a foolish child can fully describe the real nature of Lord Krishna, the enjoyer of the pastimes of Braja,
according to the vision of the revealed scriptures. So there's some hope for us foolish children. Purport. One can ascertain the meaning of the Sanskrit shloka only when one is endowed with the causeless mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Sri Krishna, being the absolute personality of Godhead, cannot be exposed to the mundane instruments of vision. He reserves the right not to be exposed by the intellectual feats of non-devotees. Notwithstanding this truth, even a small child can understand Lord Sri Krishna and his transcendental pastimes in the land of Vrindavan by the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. All glory to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glory to Lord Nityananda. All glory to Sri Advaita Acharya, and all glory to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. The scriptures proclaim that Lord Krishna previously descended to take away the burden of the earth. To take away the burden from the earth, however, is not the work of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The maintainer, Lord Vishnu, is the one who protects the universe. But the time to lift the burden of the world mixed with the time for Lord Krishna's incarnation. When the complete Supreme Personality of Godhead, Purna Bhagavana Avataraya Purna Bhagavan Avatare Ye Kale Arasava Avatara Tante Asimile. When the complete Supreme Personality of God descends, all other incarnations of the Lord meet together within Him. So you should listen to this, because this is what we're talking about downstairs. Pay attention. Purna Bhagavan Avatare. Purna Bhagavan Avatari. When the complete, Purna means full, complete. Om Purnamidam Purnamidam. Purna Purnamadachate. Purnami Vaish. How's it go? What's the rest of it? Anyway, invocation of the Upanishad. From the complete Supreme Personality of God, as so many complete units emanate. Purna Bhagavan Avatari Ye Kale. Arasava Avatari Tante Asimile. When the complete Supreme Personality of God is Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, Govinda, Gopinath, Shamsundar. When he comes, all the other avatars, sub-avatara, they're within him. Narayana Chatravyuha, Matsyad Avatar, Yuga Manvantara Avatara, Yata Ache Ara, Sabayase Krishna Ange, Haya Avatirna, Ache Avatare Krishna Bhagavan Apurna. Lord Narayan and the Chatravyuha, which means the four primary expansions, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha, Matsya, and all other Leela incarnations, the Yuga avatars and the Manvantara incarnations, and as many other incarnations as they are, they all descend in the body of Lord Krishna. In this way, the complete Supreme Godhead Lord Krishna Himself appears. Atteva Vishnu Takan Krishna Sharir Vishnu Dware Kare Krishna Asura Samhar. At that time, therefore, Lord Vishnu is present in the body of Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna kills the demons through Lord Vishnu, as we mentioned downstairs. Anusanga karma e asura maran, ye lagi avatara kahise mulakaran. Thus the killing of demons is but secondary work. I shall now speak of the main reason for the Lord's incarnation. This is in the Navadvipa book, you may remember this verse. Prema rasa niryas karite yashwadan, Raga Marga Bhakti Loke Karita Prachan Rashika Shekara Krishna Parama Karun Edui Hetu Haite Icharat Udgam. Please repeat. Prema Ras. The mellow of love of God. Nir Yas. Essence. Karite. Do. Ashwadhan. Tasting. Rag Marg. The path of spontaneous attraction. Bhakti. Devotional service. Loke. In the world. Karite.
Karite.
To do. Pracharan. What does that mean? Prachar. What? No, that's achar. It's prachar. Tonight will be a Bhagavad Gita prachar. Yeah, it means give a lecture. Propagation to spread. So it's rag marga bhakti loke karite prachar. He came to preach, rag marga. Prachar means propagation. Rasika Shekhar. What? Rasika Shekhar. Once again, Rasika Shekhar.
Rasika Shekhar.
Thank you. The supremely jubilant. Parama Karuna. The most merciful. These. Dui. Two. Hetu. Reasons. Haite. From. Ichara. Desire. Udgama. Birth. The Lord's desire to appear was born from two reasons. He wanted to taste the sweet essence of the mellows of love of God. Premaras Niryas Ashwadan. And he wanted to propagate devotional service in the world on the platform of spontaneous attraction. Rag Marg Bhakti Prachar. Thus he is known as Rasika Shekhar, the supremely jubilant, and the Parama Karuna, the most merciful of all. Purport. During the period of Lord Krishna's appearance, the killing of asuras or non-believers such as Kamsa and Jarasandha was done by Vishnu, who was within the person of Sri Krishna. Such apparent killing by Lord Sri Krishna was a matter of course as an incidental activity. But the real purpose of Lord Krishna's appearance was to stage a dramatic performance of his transcendental pastimes at Brajabhumi. What was the real purpose of Krishna's appearance? Of what? Yeah. Okay. Thus, exhibiting the highest limit of transcendental mellow in the exchanges of reciprocal love between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. So what did he exhibit when he came here and showed his Braja Leela? What was he exhibiting? The highest limit of transcendental mellow in the exchanges. So what is the highest limit of transcendental mellow in the exchanges between the Lord and the living entity? What is the highest limit? Madhurya Ras. A little higher than Madhurya Ras. What's the highest form of Madhurya Ras? They're assisting some other bhav. What are they assisting? That's like a branch of Parikya bhav. So, what is the highest? So Krishna came to show in this material world the highest limit of transcendental mellow in the exchanges of reciprocal love between the living entity and the Lord. Because some of the living entities, like the Rishichari gopis and Rishicharis and Municharis, they became gopis and they enjoyed in this Parikya ras. So Krishna came to this world to show this Parikya ras. These reciprocal exchanges of mellows are called rag bhakti, or devotional service in the transcendental rapture. Lord Sri Krishna wants to make it known to all conditioned souls that he is more attracted by rag bhakti than vidhi bhakti, or devotional service under scheduled regulations. It is said in the Vedas, raso vai sa. The absolute truth is the reservoir for all kinds of reciprocal exchanges of loving sentiment. He is also causelessly merciful, and he wants to bestow upon us this privilege of rag bhakti. Thus he appeared as his own internal energy. He was not forced to appear by any extraneous force. So, there's two meanings. He wasn't forced to appear by extraneous force. One meaning of that is he was not forced to appear by his karma. Right? We're forced to appear by our karma and take body after body due to our karma. But Krishna wasn't forced to appear due to karma. And what's another external reason which did not cause Krishna to appear? According to what we're reading. Another external reason.
Because
exactly. So I'll repeat what she said, just listen. He was not forced to appear by any extraneous force. So the extraneous force in the Bhagavad Gita says, yada yada hi dharmasya glani or bhavati bharata. So whenever there's a decline, it's dharmasya glani. Whenever there's a break or decline in religious principles, the Lord comes. But that is the Vasudeva portion. This verse and purport, I'm asking questions in relation to what we're discussing. So this verse and purport is discussing the reason for Swayam Bhagavan Krishna to come. Why does he come? He comes for these purposes, to engage in Braja Leela, and to exchange in loving reciprocation and parakiya bhava with the living entities, and to show to bestow upon us this privilege of rag bhakti by showing the ragatmika bhakti of his eternal servitors and liberated souls in the Madhurya Dham of Sri Vrindavan Dham. He bestows it. So let's ask a few questions. Well, what does Anu mean? To follow. Anu, gata means path or goal. So ragatmika, that means their atma, their body, mind, soul, you know, we discussed that before. It's completely attached to Krishna. Spontaneously, their body is spontaneously attached, their minds are spontaneously attached, their everything. That's ragatmika, because atmika means the atmika. It means the body, mind, soul, words, everything. So that process of devotion, that sadhana, it's a type of sadhana which follows the mellow, follows in the footsteps of such completely spontaneously attached personalities. It's called Rag Anuga. And we sing in the Tulsi prayer, A Nevadena, what was it? A Sakir Anugata Koro. A Nevadana Daro. Sakir Anugata Koro. Oh Tulsi, please bless me. Please grant me the privilege of devotional service and make me a Sakir Anugata. Make me a follower of the coward dance of the Braja. Make me a Sakir Anugata. So we're saying Rag Anuga. I want to follow the Rag with that loving attachment, spontaneous loving attachment of the eternal associates of the Lord. That's Rag Anuga. As bhakti or devotion which follows in the footsteps of the Ragatmika devotees. About that candle? Okay, not yet. So why did Krishna came down to this material world? We're talking about the internal reasons. This is why Krishna comes. Vishnu and all these incarnations, they all come within him, and all this restoring religion and killing demons is all done by Vishnu. But when Krishna comes, he comes for these reasons. And we want to hear about that. Ask some questions. So when Krishna came to this material world to make something known. He wanted to make something known to all the conditioned souls. What did he want to make known? Based on what I already said. He wanted to make it known. Listen, everybody. I want everybody to understand. I want everyone to know now. I want you to understand that I am... No, there you go, I am more...
Oh, I'm more attracted by having the bhakti
by what? By what?
Vaidhi
bhakti. Don't say sadhana, there's two kinds of sadhana, right? Vaidhi sadhana and Raghunatha sadhana. So what is Krishna wanting to make known to all the conditioned souls that he is? Yes. And Krishna is a reservoir for all kinds of reciprocal exchanges of loving sentiment. And he wants to bestow upon us what? What is he came because he wanted to bestow upon us the privilege. He wanted to bestow upon us the privilege. Rag Bhakti. He wanted to bestow upon us this privilege of Rag Bhakti. Thus he appeared by his own internal energy. What is his internal energy? Vaishnavi, Bolie. You're letting the junior students answer the questions out of your humility. No, they're just being irreverent. irreverent they're being irreverent in the presence of their senior mother, their senior sister. They're not irreverent means disrespectful. No reverence, irreverence. Means like reverence, awe and respect, so irreverent means no. They're just young upstarts. No respect. So he appeared, Krishna appeared by his internal energy. Internal energy is Ladini Shakti, right? His Sandini is also internal, and Samvit. Aishraya Janete Sabha Jagat Mishrita Aishraya Shittila Preme Nahimora Prita. All the universe is filled with the conception of majesty, but love, weakened by that sense of majesty, does not satisfy me. So this is a mentality, this is a quotation, this is a thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. This is verse 17, Adi Lila, verse 17, this quote. Of course, Kaviraj is telling us, because he's Kasturi Manjari, so he's knowing very much what Krishna thinks and says, and there's quotes around it. All the universe is filled with Aishvarya, Aishvarya Gyan, Aishvarya Gyanate, Sabha Jagat, right? Sabha Jagat. You ran out of ink? We'll get some more. He's just going up to his little place. He's going up to the Chandrashalika so I can see his girlfriends coming home at the end of the day. Like Nanda Maharaj goes up to the Chandrashalika. Chandrashala, like Goshala means little place for the cow. There's one of his wives. Chandrashalika means that little house where you can see the moon. So this is his place up there. When we sleep here on the roof in the summertime, they're always up there looking down. You have a pen? Hari Haraya Namaha. Amareshwara Mane Amanake Hina. What now? Batteries? Oh. Yanake Hina. Tare Prema Vasa Ami Nahai Adina. If one regards me as the Supreme Lord and himself as a subordinate, I do not become subservient to his love, nor can it control me. Amake tayeye bhakta bhajaye bhav, tare se se bhave bhaji e mora svabhav. Adi Lila chapter 4, verse 18 and 19 and 20 and 21 and 22 and 23. Many verses where Lord Krishna is personally speaking his mentality before he came to this world and what attracts him. You get like a little piece of foam. You know? I remember you take a pencil and you put the foam around the pencil and then you tie some tape around it. You know, around a pencil, you know, pencil. And then you take it off of there, and then it'll slip right on top of this thing. You have a little foam, you know, a little windscreen, they call it. Okay, I have a piece of foam I'll give you to make it. In whatever transcendental mellow my devotee worships me, I reciprocate with him. That is my natural behavior. Purport. The Lord, by his inherent nature, reveals himself before his devotees according to their inherent devotional service. The Vrindavan pastimes demonstrated that although generally people worship God with reverence, the Lord is more pleased when a devotee thinks of him as his pet son, personal friend, or most dear fiancé, and renders service unto him with such natural affection. The Lord becomes a subordinate object of love in such transcendental relationships. Such pure love of Godhead is unadulterated by any tinge of superfluous non-devotional desires. Superfluous non-devotional desires. Means extraneous, external, not necessary, superfluous.
Unwanted.
Thank you. Unwanted. Yeah, they're not. If you lose them, they're unwanted. Yeah, they're unwanted. That's the best way. Like that. and is not mixed with any sort of fruitive action or empiric philosophical speculation. It is pure and natural love of Godhead, spontaneously aroused in the absolute stage. This devotional service is executed in a favorable atmosphere freed from material affection. In other words, the person, he just loves Krishna, like the gopis. I don't know what you are, what they say, or who you are. We love you. We have no other desire. We have no material desires, no selfishness. As we were explaining on Parikrama, the gopis were self-forgetful. They forgot themselves. You know, they didn't have any conception that we have the idea of selfless, but they were beyond selfless. Selfless means that you temporarily restrain your personal ambitions or desires and try to work for another for some time. But even then, there's always some subtle selfishness involved. You want to be recognized as a selfless person. You want to be glorified as a selfless person. And Mother Teresa worked so selflessly so she can win the Nobel Prize as being the most selfless person. But the gopis were so much selfless, so much concerned with the pleasure of Krishna, they completely forgot themselves. They never remembered for a second. The acharyas explained they were self-forgetful. That's like way beyond selflessness. The selfishness, which is a gross platform of exploitation. And then there's selflessness, then there's self-forgetful. Then what verse do you think Krishna quotes now after speaking in this verse? From Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 9. No. Well, let me read the previous verse as Krishna spoke. In whatever transcendental mellow my devotee worships me, I reciprocate with him. Manusha, Partha, Parvasana. So this verse in Bhagavad Gita, in the Bhagavad Gita, it comes in when we're a neophyte devotee that temple commander saying, Prabhu, you gotta surrender. Wash, clean the plates. You know, if you surrender to Krishna, he rewards you accordingly. But here, we're hearing a discussion of prema ras. We're hearing a discussion of how Krishna reciprocates with the ras, with the loving mood and loving devotion of the devotee. So he's using the same verse. He's quoting this verse. And whatever transcendental mellow, he's talking about mellows, transcendental mellows here. He's talking about Bhav, he's talking about Bhav, whatever Bhav, he says Bhav, Swabhav. Whatever is that personal Bhav, Swabhav, loving mood of the devotee. In whatever way my devotees surrender unto me, Yayatam Mam Prapadyante, Tam Sateva Bhajamyaham. What's going on now? Sorry? Battery? Endless. What happened? All right. So this is Adi Leela, chapter 4, Chaitanya Charitamrita, text 20. Yayatam mam prapadyante, tam stateva bhajam yaham, mamavart manavartante, manushya partasarvasah. In whatever way my devotees surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O Son of Prita. The message was Krishna spoke to in the battle of Kurukshetra. This message was received through the chain of disciplic succession. But in the course of time, the chain was being broken somehow or other. Lord Krishna again appeared and taught Arjuna the truth of Bhagavad Gita. Okay, I think we'll stop there. Tomorrow will start. It's a little hard to see the small print in the dark. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya. Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya
Vaishva Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya
Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, is that right? The sound is coming on. This is Adi Leela chapter 4, text 21 and 22. Mora putra mora sakka mora pranapati e bhavaye more kara shura bhakti apanake baramane amare samahina te bhavai hami sahara adina. Translation: if one cherishes pure loving devotion to me, thinking of me as his son, his friend, or his beloved, regarding himself as great and considering me his equal or inferior, I become subordinate to him. Actually, in these verses, this series of verses from Adi Leela chapter 4, Krishna's Kaviraj is speaking in the mood of Krishna. What is he actually thinking of Krishna? What type of love is Krishna pleased by? What type of service, what kind of mentality and mood is Krishna pleased by? So this is actually Krishna speaking. Of Srila Prabhupada's purport. There are three kinds of devotional service: bhakti, shuddha bhakti, and vidha bhakti. When devotional service is executed with some material purpose involving fruitive activities, mental speculations, or mystic yoga, it is called mixed or adulterated devotional service. Besides bhakti yoga, Bhagavad Gita also describes karma yoga, jnana yoga, and dhyana yoga. Yoga means linking with the Supreme Lord, which is possible only through devotion. Fruitive activities ending in devotional service, philosophical speculation ending in devotional service, and the practice of mysticism ending in devotional service are respectively known as karma yoga, jnana yoga, and dhyana yoga. But such devotional service is adulterated by three kinds of material activities. For those grossly engaged in identifying the body as the self, pious activity or karma yoga is recommended. For those who identify the mind with the self, philosophical speculation or jnana yoga is recommended. But devotees standing on the spiritual platform have no need of such material conceptions of adulterated devotion. Adulterated devotional service does not directly aim for love of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, service performed strictly in conformity with the revealed scriptures is better than such vidya bhakti, because it is free from all kinds of material contamination. It is executed in Krishna consciousness solely to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vikasha, one thing I want to know is, who knows English here? Raise your hand. So if you don't raise your hand, I know you don't know English because you don't know what I said. that kind of indicates. So there's like three devotees that don't know English? Or four? So it's kind of worthless. Why don't you sit in the back with those devotees and translate? At least half of what we're going to do is speak English. So it's like, no, I mean, if you want to stay, frankly, it'd be better not to stay, but if you're going to stay, then you should translate for them. Just sit in the back, line up against the wall there in the back by Tulsi. This devotee here, he should go to the back. And the one over there. And Parvati. What's his name? what is it? Pradeep? Please. Do you know any, you know the English? No. Maybe sit here. Sit here. The Lord Chaitanya had a pastime, the demigods would take human form to take part in the Sankirtan, told in Chaitanya Bhagavat. So it isn't that they came down with wings and you know, golden necklaces and all kinds of crowns and everything. Otherwise everybody would say, well, who are those guys? You know, Mili and Srivasangam, everybody said, who's the guy with the big crown? Who's the guy with the 1,000 eyes? Who's the guy with the three heads and the three eyes? And you know, they didn't come like that, because everybody would know it was Brahma and Shiva and everything. But they came as ordinary, just ordinary Bengali villagers. You know, ordinary Bengali Brahmins with their little dhotis and you know, folded in like little thunderbolts in the front, and wavy greased down hair with the Brahmi oil on their hair, and you know, they came into the kirtan. They joined the kirtan party just like any other, you know, Bengali at 500 years ago. But there was Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma and Indra, and everyone was there. So we don't know who these souls are in Vrindavan. We don't know who we are in Vrindavan. if we could actually see our own sroops, then we would, you know, all material attraction would cease, and we would relish the wonderful divine forms of all the liberated souls that we're associating with. Those who are spontaneously devoted to the Lord, do I have to stop, or I can just keep reading and you can just kind of translate whatever you hear? Okay. whatever he hears and they hear, and everything is good. Okay. Because he's quite smart. Akash is a very smart person. Those who are spontaneously devoted to the Lord have no aims for material gain and are called attracted devotees. Or in other words, Raghunuga Bhaktas. They're spontaneously devoted to the Lord and they don't want anything else but the Lord's service. They are spontaneously attracted to the service of the Lord, and they follow in the footsteps of self-realized souls. Their pure devotion, Shuddha Bhakti, manifested from pure love of Godhead, surpasses the regulative principles of the authoritative scriptures. In other words, they're not bound by the limits of Vaidhi Bhakti, because they're Raghunuga Bhaktas. Sometimes, loving ecstasy transcends regulative principles. Such ecstasy, however, is completely on the spiritual platform and cannot be imitated. The regulative principles help ordinary devotees rise to the stage of perfect love of Godhead. Pure love for Krishna is the perfection of pure devotion, and pure devotional service is identical with spontaneous devotional service. So when one comes to the platform of Rag Bhakti, he's actually beginning the platform of pure devotional service. So pure devotional service, of course, begins with Shantaras. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanat Goswami explains the different types of bhakti, beginning with Gyan Mishra and Karma Mishra, talking about Indra and Brahma and Shiva. And then it says, now we begin with pure devotional service. Pure devotional service begins with Bhakta Prahlad. We call him Bhakta Prahlad. So he's a devotee. He's a Shanta Bhakta. He's in a relationship of awe and reverence, and he really isn't doing much service to the Lord except for remembering him, Vishnu Smaranam. As we know, Prahlad Maharaj attained perfection by Smaranam, remembering Vishnu. He wasn't doing much active service other than mental service of remembrance. Dasya Bhav, or the platform of active service in an intimate way, the very shadow of intimacy begins with Hanuman, Bhakta Hanuman, or more than a Bhakta, but he's Hanuman. Because he renders so much service to the Lord, he holds a parasol over the Lord's head, he carries medicine for the Lord, carries the Lord himself, goes on missions to Lanka to find Sita, and many, many things, many, so many services he renders. So, the pure devotional service, when one comes at least to the platform of Shantaras, that is the beginning of Rag Bhakti. Rag Bhakti begins from this. And Rag Bhakti, in its preliminary stage, is basically Shantaras, and that is the beginning of pure devotion. And that begins when one comes to the. Has crossed beyond Nishta and actually entered into what we call Ruchi. After Nishta, there's Ruchi. So there can be some taste for spontaneously serving the Lord. although the relationship may be not very specifically defined in a very intimate way. Relationship is passive adoration of Shantaras. But even Shantaras, of course, is pure. It is Shuddha Bhakti, but in the lowest position. Flawless execution of regulative principles is exhibited in the Vaikuntha planet. By strictly executing these principles, one can be elevated to the Vaikuntha planet, but spontaneous, pure, loving service is found in Krishna Loka alone. It's very amazing how Prabhupada's book very, very specifically explained the destiny of the practitioners of particular forms of devotion. He doesn't use all the fancy Sanskrit terms because he's speaking to New Yorkers and Frenchmen and Germans and people that aren't really keen on Sanskrit terms. And they're not raised in a culture of Sanskrit terms, so he puts everything in very, very simple English. So what other acharyas do, they take all these same sentences that are in this purport and they start throwing in things like Shastravichar and Tattva Vastu Tattva and Rag Bhakti and Ragatmika Bhakti and Shantaras and all these different things. And then they say Vaidhi Bhakti leads to this place and Raganuga Bhakti leads to this. Everybody gets all confused or everybody gets all impressed. Oh, this person knows so much, or he's so learned, such a great acharya. But Srila Prabhupada, he was speaking all these terms, but in English. We can look at this and get some idea. He says here, by strictly following regulative principles, one goes to Vaikuntha. What does that mean? That means by strictly following the principles of Vaidhi Bhakti or Sadhana Bhakti, you can go to Vaikuntha. So if you don't execute Rag Bhakti, where will you go? You'll go to Vaikuntha. So there's a very nice chart in Bengali that our godbrother Kiranath put in English one time. Maybe you've seen that one. It has these creepers going up. It's a paper, so it's going up from the bottom of the paper to the top. There's these creepers going up, different creepers. A creeper means a little plant, or a lata, a little plant with some leaves. And then it goes up to some flowers. It has like lotus flowers on the top. And then it has different horizontal lines going across the paper. And it talks about, you know, different planets, you know, Swargaloka, Janaloka, and it talks about mystic yoga. And if you're on a creeper of mystic yoga, it takes you up to Siddhaloka or something. It has a Siddhaloka. And so then it has Vaidhi Bhakti. And then it says, you know, then it takes you to Vaikuntha. And then it says Vaidhi Bhakti mixed with Rag. And then it takes you to like Dwarka, you know, or Ayodhya. And it has all these different, a very nice chart. And you put it in English. And it's based on the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Chaitanya Charitamrita, like this, and Madhurya Kadambini, Raghavartman Chandrika. A very nice chart. You can see these different destinies. The Prabhupada is explaining something about devotional destiny, where you'll go by the performance of bhakti. Right here in Prabhupada's book. So if someone says, well, actually, if you don't perform Rag Bhakti, you can't go to Krishna Loka. Oh, Prabhupada never said that. What are you saying? Prabhupada never said that. You say you just chant 16 rounds and you sell paintings and you go to Krishna Loka. But I never saw that in the books. I don't see that. He's saying something different. He's speaking at the acharyas. Krishna himself is speaking that he's not very impressed with Aishwarya Bhav, which is mentioned right here in the Sanskrit, and that want to lean on a wall? Oh, yeah, the fan. Well, if we have no fan, then it's too hot. Or is it too hot with no fan? Okay, turn off the fan. I guess that's the message I'm getting. When you're playing mridanga, you get kind of warmed up, you know, kind of like a lot of, you know, not much of that, but a lot of energy. Oh, that'd be good for recording also. So much. Now Krishna speaks again, or at least he's in quotes. So now Krishna himself is speaking Bhagavatam. Mayi bhaktir hi bhutanam amritat vayakalpate dishtya yarasin matsneho bhavitinam madapana. Please repeat. Mayi to me, bhakti,
bhakti,
devotional service,
he,
certainly,
bhutanam,
living entities, amritatvaya, eternal life, kalpate,
brings about
visya,
by good fortune,
yet,
which,
asit,
was,
must,
for me,
sneha,
affection,
bhavatinam,
all of you,
mat,
me,
apana,
obtaining.
Translation. Krishna speaking.
No, actually, because this is a two-quote mark, it's a quote within a quote. So Krishna was, Kaviraj Goswami was quoting Krishna about this one who cherishes loving service, and now he's, it's a quote within a quote. Now he himself is taking liberty to speak by quoting a verse from Bhagavatam to support some of these points that Krishna is speaking.
Devotional service rendered to me by the living beings revives their eternal life. Oh, my dear damsels of Braja, your affection for me is your good fortune, for it is the only means by which you have attained my favor. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 82, verse 45. I believe that chapter 82 is Krishna meets the gopis, or the residents of Vrindavan at Kurukshetra. I believe that's chapter 82, because there's only 90 chapters in the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, and towards the end of the Bhagavatam he goes from Dwarka to Kurukshetra to meet with the residents of Vrindavan, especially the gopis. So he's explained to here that your affection for me is your good fortune, for it's only by me that only is the only means by which you have attained my favor. Srila Prabhupada's purport.